All right, so again, welcome, brother. This is Brother Jackson. We saw some interesting things last Sabbath as we're going through the book of Acts. We saw the work that Peter was doing. We saw how Paul was led out of a basket to be saved and how the brethren intervened, how Elohim did not, by his spirit or power in any way, direct Paul too much, but he allowed his brethren to be partakers of his work. In that sense, he went and that they intervened for Paul and sent him on his way. Verse 29 says, and he spake boldly, that is Apostle Paul of chapter 9, verse 29, and he spake boldly in the authority of the sovereign Yeshua, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So whenever we speak against people, we could expect some kind of adversity. But we should not seek adversity, but sometimes it just happens. So we have to be very wise. But when the brethren knew, they brought him down through Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. I mean, that's where he's from. They sent him back to Tarsus. And the congregations had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified. Remember, they were being persecuted before. It started with persecution against the apostles early on, then against the whole congregation through Paul, and now they're at peace. And then we saw the whole thing about how Peter healed Aeneas at Lydda, then he healed Tabitha or Dorcas, who had actually passed away. But because of all her good works and the people were just the brethren there at Joppa, they were not ready for her to go. They really weren't ready. And they asked Peter to come. And Peter prayed, turned to the body, and brought her back to life by the power of the Spirit. And we saw how Peter did not have any power in of himself. He claimed he didn't have anything. But it's through prayer and the power of the Spirit that he healed Dorcas or Tabitha. And it says in verse 40, but Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And Peter, like the gracious, spirit-led gentleman, he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believe in the eternal. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Last night during our prayer time, one of the sisters, while she was praying, she prayed, and rightly so, that we should have the gifts of the Spirit. And especially she prayed for prophecy, and that's especially true because the Apostle Paul stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that we should earnestly seek the gifts of the Spirit, especially the gift of prophecy, okay? And she's wise to understand that we really need it today. Some people say we don't need it. No, we really, really need it today because we're living in a society that's becoming so apostate. Nobody really has faith anymore. It's very few, really. So with verse 43, it says, Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. That's where Peter was staying. He stayed there for many days. A tanner, of course, as you could tell, is someone who used dyes, like they color things. So that was Simon's trade. Not Simon Peter and another Simon who had the trade of dyeing things, adding color to material. So he was a tanner. Okay, so let's continue with chapter 10 of Acts. We'll read up to verse 22 and do as much as we can. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared Elohim and all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to Elohim always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of Elohim coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, sovereign? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before Elohim. And now send, verse 5, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you need to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called all of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up unto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven open and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet, knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to Peter, "Rise and kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, sovereign, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." Verse 15. And the voice spake unto him again, and the second time, saying, "What Elohim hath cleansed, call not you unclean." This was done thrice and three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made an inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and call and ask whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek thee. Arise therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come?" And verse 22, and they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth Elohim, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from Elohim by an holy angel to send for you into his house and to hear words of you." Amen. All right, brethren, there's some very powerful, wonderful, necessary things that we must learn throughout scripture, but this is very important for the new covenant. Okay, so there was a certain man, this man, Cornelius. He was a centurion from the Italian band. That's what his troop, as we would say, or his group of soldiers would be called, the Italian band. What type of man was he? So he was a Gentile. He was a soldier, a military person. But what was his character like? He was a devout man, one that feared Elohim with all his house, not just he, with all of his house, and gave much alms to the people and prayed to Elohim always. So these are some of the characteristics of what it means to be devout. So let's look into ourselves and say, are we like this? Okay, this man did not even enter the new covenant yet because he doesn't know how. He has already achieved many of the requirements of entering the new covenant, which is repentance, believing the good news, and baptism. He looks like he has part one down pretty good. He's a devout man who feared Elohim. With all his house, he did good deeds to the people and prayed to Elohim once in a while. No, always. You notice what the emphasis is in behavior and in connection, in prayer with Elohim. Verse 3. So because he was like this, Elohim helped him. He saw a vision. He saw an angel came to him. When? About the ninth hour. The ninth hour is about what time? The ninth hour is about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. An angel of Elohim coming to him and saying unto him, "Cornelius." And he was afraid. "What is it, sovereign?" he said. He doesn't know it's an angel, right? He said, "Sovereign, master." There's nothing wrong with that. It's not wrong to give honor to whom honor is due. He's not necessarily addressing this angel as sovereign creator or anything of that nature. It's just, sir, a word of respect. And he said unto him, "Your prayers and your alms are coming up for a memorial before Elohim." Remember, since you've been hearing me, those of you, for as long as you've been hearing me, I say how important prayer is and how important about behavior virtue is. These are the important things. You see, Torah is supposed to teach you to do those things. Reading Torah nonstop in of itself is not the goal. Actually, the goal, the telos of Torah is Messiah. And as we pray and we do the things that are good, we are emulating, we are becoming more like Messiah. What did he say? "Oh, I've heard how much you've been reading. I've heard how much you've been studying." No, it's not how much you've been reading and how much you've been studying, but it's foremost your prayers and your good deeds. Don't be deceived by Judaistic thinking. The emphasis on Torah is misplaced. Torah is good, and it is to be, but that's not where the emphasis is. That's Judaistic thinking, which is not biblical thinking. That's not what the scriptures teach us. When you read the Torah tells you to spend time praying. And the Torah is an instruction. We should not have an idolatrous relationship with the scriptures. Some religions do. They make the reading of the scripture the end and all in all. No, that's why somewhere in the scriptures it tells us be careful about too much study. It becomes wearisome, or knowledge puffs up. We learn and we do. We learn and we do. If we're learning and not doing, then we're going to be puffed up. It's not going to have the effect it's supposed to have. Reading the Torah is instruction. What do we receive instruction for? It's how to do something. And the instruction all throughout scripture tells us to spend time praying, not spend time reading only. It's just like a person who spends thousands of hours and dollars going to college to learn, to gain instruction. Then when he or she finishes, he or she spends all his or her life doing the same thing, spending hours and hours studying, doing nothing. That's a waste. And then he or she will, why am I poor? No, because you're supposed to apply what you learn. Then we're using Torah properly. Reading Torah to no end to no point is not the emphasis. But there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that are caught just doing that. They read Torah and they think reading all the scriptures, blah, 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 and they don't do it. And that's why later on in the one of the epistles, be a doer of the word, not just a hearer of the word. And again, one of the important things that the Torah instruction is to pray. But very few people pray as much as they should. Like if we have a Bible study, people come. When it's prayer time, very few people come. I don't understand that. It's strange. But let's learn from what was important to Elohim. So we put on his mind, not Hebraic mind. Gentile mind, Hebraic mind is all under sin. All under sin. The Torah is not Hebraic thinking. The Torah is from above, okay? Whether we're Hebrew or Gentile, that will accomplish nothing for us. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. It is putting on the mind, instruction of Elohim, and especially the mind of Messiah, who some call the living Torah. Okay, so I don't want to take too much time with that. So it says, your prayers and your good deeds are come before Elohim. So let's focus on what's important to Elohim. So he said, he gives him instruction, send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. Again, remember Tabitha, also called Dorcas? And now we see Simon, whose surname is Peter, Kepha. So it's to show you again that names have a purpose, okay? It's not just a matter of the phonetic. I know I keep saying this over, but we need to understand how scripture works. We cannot impose Western culture where names are just labels. Like most often people don't know what their names mean. It's just a name. It's just a label. What's your name? Well, my name is Bob. My name is Susan. But most people, what does your name mean? I don't know. That's not how it was in ancient times, especially among the Shemites. Names had meaning. Even among the American natives here in America, like names were important and names were translated because of the importance. They didn't just say the phonetic sound of their names in their own language. They would tell the foreigner what their name means because that's the value of the name. If you don't say what the name means, what's the point? It doesn't mean anything. It's just a label. But when you know what it means, when it's translated for you, which is what you will see throughout the scriptures, then we're not like barbarians to each other. We understand. Then we're not like tinkling cymbals to each other. We understand exactly what you mean. So like when Elohim said, they shall know my name, that's what he's talking about. Because the people obviously knew the phonetic pronunciation. And him knowing his name would be something he would do, not they themselves. They could do nothing to know his name. As you will, when you look at all those scriptures that said, they shall know my name, you will see that's Elohim That's doing that. So in the scriptures, names are interpreted, names are explained, because the meaning, the value of the name is important. So it's conveyed in whatever other languages. So he lodged with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. So again, see the relationship that because of Cornelius's character, look at what Elohim is doing for him. He sends a messenger for him. He can do the same for us if we are like Cornelius. Remember, Cornelius is not even a new covenant believer yet. He doesn't even know what to do. He's just living the Torah right here. In other words, the thing that the Torah says to do as a Gentile, he does. He's a repentant Gentile to the best of his knowledge. And he lodges with Simon, and he will tell you what you need to do. He will tell you what you need to do. So when the angel which spake to Cornelius was departed, he called for his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him. He didn't just call anybody. He called two of his household servants and a devout soldier. He was very careful who he was going to commission, who he was involved in this. Okay, so we too must be very careful how we handle the word. We don't just throw it here and there to everybody. We need to make sure that whoever we're throwing it to will not turn and rent us, will not turn to trample the word underfoot. We must make sure that it's somebody who's receptive. Now, Cornelius is just doing something to get help for himself, but he knows to be very careful to give it to those who are really responsible, to a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. So he was a faithful soldier and two servants that he was going to send. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So because they were trustworthy, he did not just send them away so they don't know. He entrusted to them all things, all the things that happened. He didn't hide it from them. Why? Because they were trustworthy. And he sent them on their way. He didn't send them not knowing. He sent them, just as Abraham sent his servant to get a wife for his son Isaac. He got his most trusted servant to do that. So important things have to be dealt with and trusted people we could trust. Verse 9. So on the morrow, as they went to their journey and drew nigh, or as they were going, the scripture is giving us the connection. So as they were on their way, now it switches to another scene, to this Peter, Kepha, to this Shimon, Simon, whom they're coming for. It speaks of Simon. And Peter went up about the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Remember, this is not his house. This is the tanner's house. He's a guest there. And he became very hungry and he wanted to eat, but they were preparing the food. So he fell into a trance. These are not things that Peter planned to do. Elohim is taking every opportunity to set things right. Just as they're leaving to come to him, he falls into a trance. I'm sure Peter has been hungry many times before. But fasting is important. And that fasting, when we fast, it kind of creates this type of situation. Now, this was not a planned fast. He would have eaten right away, but the food wasn't ready. This is Elohim's doing. So sometimes when we hit a little bump on the road and we don't know what's going on, turn to Elohim quickly. Don't stress. If you're living right, if you know you're living right, if you know you don't have a reason that you know of to be chastised of, like you're living the commandments, you know you're not playing around, then when things go apparently wrong, don't stress. Relax. Elohim is in control. It's something good that's about to happen, not bad. Trust Elohim. So he fell into a trance. And what happened? He saw heaven open and he saw the vessel. You know what happened? But all sorts of animals. And he heard, kill and eat. Rise, kill and eat. Common or unclean. Common may be a clean animal, but it's not prepared right. Or it's filthy, whatever. Unclean are the animals specified in the book of Leviticus. Shouldn't eat. Make sure you review those things, as we are to be pure in our bodies as well as our spirits. What we eat is still important. The New Covenant scripture says so. So he said, I've never eaten anything common or unclean. Then what was Elohim's response? He didn't say, eat the unclean thing. No, he says, what Elohim has cleansed, call not unclean. So Elohim is showing him things that were normally unclean, but he has cleansed. But he doesn't understand the dream yet. So this was done three times. So three times, so Elohim impacted his thinking. So likewise, too, when we have dreams, especially when we can remember the dream very clearly when we awaken, and the dream seems to have meaning, pray about those dreams when you have them. When you can't remember them, don't even worry about it. But dreams that you could remember vividly, learn to pray about those dreams. It might just be something Elohim wants you to know. He might reveal it to you, or he might send someone to help you make sense of it. Don't let these spiritual things fail in your life. Three times, and also when you dream a dream, the same dream, more than once, but especially when you remember the dream, make sure you pray about it, seek Elohim's face. So Peter doubted, so he didn't draw any conclusions. That's wisdom. He was wondering, more than doubt, he was wondering. He didn't draw conclusions what this vision was about. So many people, they rush to conclusions about things. We need to make sure we consult Elohim. So just as he awoke and came to himself and he was thinking about these things, Elohim gave him the answer, not by words, but by experience, vivid action. So how does Elohim answer? Elohim answers in many ways, some of which are dreams, some of which are visions, some of which are words, some of it spiritual by the Spirit, by his own Spirit, sometimes by angels. With Cornelius, it was by angels. With Peter, it was both by the Spirit and a vivid experience. Because behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Verse 17. And called and asked whether Peter, he asked. So while Peter thought on the vision, he went to the Torah to study and make sense of it. Is that what happened? No. This is the new covenant, where you have a relationship and where we're supposed to have fellowship with the Spirit. This is what this passage is all about, brethren. New covenant standards. 19, verse 19 tells, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek you. Arise, therefore, and get you down and go with them, doubting nothing. Don't worry about it, for I sent them. See, and the Spirit told them nothing else. Now, Peter has to find out what's going to go on by experience. But the Spirit gave him some guidance. I sent them. Don't worry. Go. Don't worry. So Peter went down. He knew nothing about what was going to happen. Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, verse 21, and said, behold, I am he whom you seek. And they must have been amazed, because now he knows. Peter didn't know through men that he was being sought. The Spirit, brethren, when you hear about the fellowship of the Spirit, that's what that is about. Now, does that mean all people have this level of the fellowship? No. Some people may have less or more. It depends on how devoted you are to Elohim, how devoted you are, how right our hearts are with him. Some will have it less. Some will have the Spirit with greater measure, with less measure. Very few people have this. So arise, get you down and go with them, doubting nothing. And Peter went down. Behold, I am he whom you seek. And because he doesn't know, he says the right thing. What is the cause wherefore you are come? So Peter, the Spirit basically told you what to do. Now you go find out what you need to do. So sometimes we need to, as guided by the Spirit, make inquiry about things. Always in the bond of love. Always in the bond of peace. Never with a quarrelsome attitude. It's always peaceful and loving. What is the cause wherefore you are come? And they said, verse 22, and they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth Elohim, of good report among all the nation of the Yehudim, was warned from Elohim, or advised by Elohim, by a holy Malach, a holy angel, a set apart angel, to send for you into his house and to hear words for you. So, what's going on here? Elohim never told Yehudim, the Israelites, that you could not mingle with Gentiles. He says you're not to mingle with heathens, right? When you read the Torah, that's what it teaches. So if a Gentile was righteous, no problem. The congregation of Elohim out of Egypt and all throughout had Gentiles among them. And many of them were not circumcised, right? Only if they needed to keep the Passover would they be circumcised. Or if they were servants of the high priest and were circumcised and so on, they could partake. So anyway, the point is, so here in this first century time, there were all sorts of tradition, man-made traditions that crept in, and Peter was still affected by them. It shows you Peter did not know everything. And yet some of us who had come to faith, we don't have an inkling of the level of anointing that Peter have. We think we are to know everything. No, we have to be patient with each other because it takes time. Some of us learn more quickly. Some of us change more quickly. We must bear with one another until by the Spirit and not by man, we reach the full stature of the sovereign Yeshua. And that's not going to happen in this world. That's something that happens way into the future after the millennial. Okay? So we need to learn. Peter did not know everything because now he's told he needs to go to the house of this Gentile. They came to him, he says, to send for you into his house. So they have to bring Peter and take him to the house so Peter could teach this Gentile of salvation. Another thing, and to end here, is that notice the report. They did not come to him and say, oh, Cornelius, he is whatever, a soldier, he just wants you to come. They told Peter his characteristics, his nature. One, he fears Elohim. He's a just man. He's just. He's a fair man. And he fears Elohim. And he has good report among all the nation of the Yehudim, not just among his own people. Even the Jews respected him because an angel told him to ask for you to come into his house. Remember about Tabitha in Joppa? It was the same thing. What did they say about her? She was in verse 36 of chapter 9. It says, a woman who was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did, right? So when the inquiry was called for, why should Peter intervene? Because she was a good woman, a righteous woman. Why should Peter intervene in the life of Cornelius? Because by Elohim, he was a just man. So that's why it's so important we must make sure we walk uprightly. If we claim to be believers and we're not doing the right thing, we're just wasting our breath and deceiving ourselves. We need to walk circumspectly. We need to be people of good deeds, people giving to much prayer, not words, not vain babblings, but prayer. That means speaking to Elohim with faith of good works. Then we are in the right path. All right, brethren, I stop here and we'll continue with this next Sabbath. Thank you.